Chris.
Marcus.
We are back. It is a little pocket awareness, right? You guys already know what to do. Follow us on Twitter, ALPA_QB1. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, ALPA_QB1. Make sure you go to Facebook, Little Pocket Awareness. Make sure you go and subscribe on iTunes as well. Make sure you do that. Subscribe on iTunes, download on Spotify, wherever you guys can listen to these podcasts. And follow me and Chris on Twitter at TheMarkJohnNFL for me and at King Manelos for Chris. So Chris, how are you feeling after this week, man? Your Packers are 6-1, won 6 in a row.
It makes me wonder what the hell happened in week one. Like, how did we get blown out by the Saints like that? Like, talk about a game that you just throw away. It was quite literally a game you throw away. And
yeah,
all pro left tackle gone, all pro corner gone, all pro defensive end gone. We don't even have our best out there. We were missing our best offensive lineman this season for forever too. Jenkins was out. So it's been an interesting trip to get here to 6-1. I'm very excited about our season, Marcus. Very excited.
You're very excited about where it's going. You know, the Raiders are 5-2, man, top of the AFC. So I'm excited too. They look really legit on offense now. And I don't know how you're gonna stop them. So have fun with that. I don't know how you figure it out. I don't know how you're gonna stop them now. Not with Derek Carr playing like he was playing with a good play caller. I kind of think he was playing like this for like the last, especially like last year, the end of last year. He was playing like this
for a while. Yeah.
He's been playing like this, but it's now just looks like he's playing like that because the play caller is like actually giving him good plays. So, he's executing at a very high level. So he just looks super. He looks totally different. I mean, if he keeps playing like that, the Raiders are gonna make playoffs. That's all I know. It doesn't matter what else happens. I mean, they're playing decent defense. And as long as he's playing like the way he's playing and they're running the football better, I don't know how you're going to stop him, bro. A lot of teams can't do both, man. A lot of teams can't do both.
Or they'll choose just not to do both.
Yeah. And the Raiders can do both right now. And I think that's a big thing. It's like Cowboys, they're hard to stop because they can do both. And a lot of the, I feel like every NFL offense decided that we want to stop Patrick Mahomes, so they're all playing like too high, and they're all built with these bunch of safeties.
That's all that Aaron Rodgers is getting too. He's just getting straight too high looks.
Yeah, you know? Man. So and that's what Derek Carr is getting a lot too lately. It's a lot of too high looks. Sorry to stop him. So to be able to run the football, to do both in this NFL right now, and you don't have to do it a lot. Like you don't. I don't think you want to be a run heavy football team like the Browns are, because I don't think. Yeah, I don't think so.
I think it depends.
No, I don't think so. I think you have to have a quarterback that could like take over a football game. I still think that is that's important, but I think having the run game behind it makes it hard to stop, because if you come out to stop the quarterback and they can run the football on you, and the next thing you know, the quarterback has easy looks, and you don't want that. That's not what you want. But a team like the Chargers, they don't care. They're not even going to bend. They're gonna, okay, you keep running the ball. Fine. Like, we're going to get you to 3rd and 9 one of these times. So that's what like teams like the Chargers and like the Bills are betting on. Like, you're going to get 3rd and 9 like at least 3 times. Let's see what you do with those 3rd and 9s. And if you beat us on those 3 3rd and 9s, then we're like, okay, fine. But if we get you off the field and then we go score, and then you can't run the ball anymore. That's kind of like their thought process. But we'll see, man. I don't know. I just think they're really hard to stop right now. I kind of feel like they're like matching what the Cowboys are, because I feel like the Cowboys have that balance of we can run on you and we can throw on you right now. And I mean, I think the Rams kind of have that balance. I mean, you tell me, can the Packers really run the ball, or is it like, do you feel like, are you confident in the run game where you feel like they're like kind of like that same kind of balance?
Absolutely. Especially with when Bakhtiari comes back. I think there's been so much of the injury bug going through the Green Bay Packers that they haven't had their actual offensive line together to be cohesive enough to really establish the running game. So you don't see the big numbers from Aaron Jones And it's really because they've been the offensive line's been a patch play. Like they haven't had all five starters play one single game together yet. So I think as the season progresses to the advantage of the Green Bay Packers, they will have their offensive line healthy and a running game through the winter months that will support Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Which I kind of like, because I think we're going to get into a lot of these quarterbacks that are playing really well. Just kind of go over the MVP race. So that's what we're going to do today, guys. We're going to look at the MVP race using my MVP guy, which is adjusted net yards per attempt. Because since the merger, I looked this up. I did it. I sat there one day, guys, and I just went through every single season. I was made sure I was correct. Since the merger, for a quarterback to win NFL MVP, you have to be top six. It has been every year. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what year it is. Doesn't matter if the number changes or rises. Like this year, it's higher. Like there's more passing. So like in 1970 was like six or something. But you still had to be top five. It didn't matter. But you had to be top five, top six at the least. I thought that was crazy that that's such like a stat that's so consistent like that. That's crazy. So I think that, I mean, obviously it's a gauge. Also, I think it's funny. Like people try to throw all these weird quarterback stats out there, right? Like EPA and QBR and all these other stats. And there's adjusted net yards per attempt that's just been sitting there for like 40 years. It's still the best one. I think that's hilarious to me. I don't like you guys to put this formula together. You said winning percentage, whatever, you know, win in the lab. It just, there's adjusted net yards per attempt still predicts the MVP better than your thing. So.
Yeah. And what we'll do in this process before we get started, we'll have you explain the statistic to our viewers as well. So that everybody's on the same page here. But we're gonna go through Marcus's way to determine the MVP, which he's got me completely on board with this. He has got me, I'm bought in. I like this. This is the appropriate gauge for me as well.
Yeah.
We're going to also see how the top 10 in this list compared to Marcus's top 10 that we previewed at the beginning of the season. So that'll be interesting to see that there. And then we'll follow up with there may be a conversation about a man who is not on this list, as well as breaking down Thursday night's game, because it's the best NFC matchup of the year right now.
Yeah.
The 7-0 Cardinals will be at home versus the 6-1 Green Bay Packers.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That is going to be a great matchup, actually. It really is. I mean, even if Devontae doesn't play, it'll still be a great game.
Well, no Devontae, potentially no Devontae, and it sounds like absolutely no Alan Lazard. So hopefully they bring MVS off the IR so that the Packers aren't without, you know, their top three wide receivers. That would be fun.
It's going to be a St. Brown breakout game, bro. He's going to make me look good for me calling him wide receiver one in 2018. He's going to do it this year. This is the game.
I would love that.
Breakout.
This is the breakout game, bro. If that is the case and they're missing their top three, Amari Rodgers, welcome to the NFL, rookie.
Yeah, there you go. Right there, you go.
We're gonna see some stuff here, but let's get started with you breaking down this statistic, Marcus. Let's break down the stat that we're gonna use here to gauge the MVP.
All right, so the stat that we're using to break down the MVP, like I said, is a stat that has been in football for a while. All right, and it's basically something you can find on Pro Football Reference. So you don't need a $35 a month subscription. You need a $100 a month subscription, whatever. It's not deep into the ESPN archives. You have to have a job at ESPN to get it. You can just type in profootballreference.com, go to the leaders, right? And it's right there in the fourth, the last column. And it's called adjusted net yards per pass attempt. Now, what is an adjusted net yards per pass attempt? I get this question a lot, so let's see. All right, so it's a formula, first of all, okay, right? And basically it takes in passing yards, sack yards, all right, passing touchdowns, interceptions, passes attempted, and how many times you're sacked. All right. That's why I like this, because I think it makes quarterbacks sacks a quarterback stat, which I think it is for most.
It's sure. And that's a great conversation to have. Maybe not right now, but we're seeing quarterbacks being the reason for sacks a lot more nowadays than we ever had before.
Exactly. It is usually a thing. It's usually a thing with how the quarterback plays is how they're taking sacks, because, you know, Tom Brady, you know, Matt Ryan, and those guys, they don't take sacks. So they never have. Mm-hmm. They never have. Unless they have like terrible offensive line, like their offensive lines have to be terrible. You know what I mean? Like this, like they can't even like block a soul.
Or if the defense is finally able to get pressure on them.
Yeah. Or find a way. I don't know. But all right. So the formula goes like this. Okay. So passing yards minus sack yards plus 20 times passing touchdowns minus 45 times interceptions divided by passes attempted plus times sacked. So yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot, guys.
Hey, there's a formula to it.
There's a formula, guys.
We don't need to understand the formula completely, but at least you're getting the breakdown of what it actually looks
exactly,
like.
Exactly. All right. But the biggest thing to this is that it's predicted the MVP for since the merger. I could have went before the merger, but I stopped there. I didn't want to go all the way to 1945. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't. So since the merger.
The MVP's been top six in the statistic is what you're saying.
100%. 100%. All right. So should we start at 10? Oh, how far back do you want to go? You want to start at 15?
Let's just go top 10 here.
Let's go 10. Okay.
Let's see 10. So we got a few outliers that may potentially jump into the MVP race.
Yes.
And the six guys that as of today, this statistic could predict one of these six would be the MVP.
I do want to talk about the two guys outside of it. I saw that 10 real quick.
Oh, okay.
Real quick. 12. Real quick. Okay. We're not going to deep dive into like Lamar Jackson is 12, so he's still there. I just want to point that out. He's still around there. And then so is Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers is at 11.
Yeah, Rodgers is at 11.
Interesting.
But I think Rodgers had it was awful week one. So who knows what his adjusted yards per attempt week one was.
That's true.
So who knows? You know, they don't update this like where you can update it week to week. And you really can't look at it like through a game, through a box score. So, and I'm not doing that formula for you guys. So, week to week. So, but like I said, he is on the rise, obviously. So that's why I want to point out to those two guys. I think Lamar was higher, but he had a really bad game. So he dropped. So that's how quick you can drop.
Well against the Bengals.
So that's how quick you can drop on this thing too. So I want to show that because I think Lamar was like number six last week when I looked. And now he's 12. So shows how quick you can drop on this thing too. So Aaron Rodgers is a guy you should watch. Obviously he's 11, so he's on the rise. I mean, he's putting up numbers right now. He's kind of picking it back up, right? And he's getting up there. So that's the guy to watch is Aaron Rodgers, because they're 6-1 too. If they just keep winning, you know, he might Matthew Stafford. I mean, he might steal it. He might steal it from one of those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, again, those are two guys that were 100% in your top 10, Marcus. So
yes. Yeah, Rodgers was one. No, Rodgers was two. He was two.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson was
seven.
Eight. I had him at eight.
Eight.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's start at the top 10. So we got at 10, we got Carson Wentz.
That was number 26 on your list?
No, that was Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's right. 21.
21. Wentz was 21. Okay, Wentz was 21. Wentz
was your wild card. He was your wild card. I will give you that, so I won't come at you hard for that one.
Exactly. But I did say that he could play better, was a better team around him, because he didn't have a really good team around him, which he does now. He has a way better offensive line. Right.
Mm-hmm.
He has a I wouldn't say a better receiving core. I mean, I'd say Michael Pittman is a good receiver. I think he has a good connection with Michael Pittman. You know, I think he's an
definitely
offense that he's
playing before. Definitely a downgrade at tight end. Definitely a downgrade at tight end. I'll agree with that statement there. But he's getting T.Y. back, and T.Y. and Michael Pittman could be a good duo for him.
Yeah, I think. He is playing well. You know, when I have watched him on tape, I think he looks very comfortable in that passing offense. I think that offense, he's really comfortable. He's comfortable with the play caller. I think, you know, Frank Reich's a good quarterback coach and a good play caller, understands what his quarterback does well and what he doesn't. And he designs his play calling around that guy's skill set. And I think that's, you know, that's what good quarterback coaches do, right? And I think that's what he does really well. And I think that's why Carson Wentz is playing a whole lot better. Plus, Carson Wentz is playing with a way better offensive line, too. So, I mean, he is playing well. You know, he's not playing great, but I think he's playing maybe the adjusted net yards per attempt is a little better than how he's actually playing, right? I don't know if how much farther he would move up on here, especially because he's still taking a lot of sacks. I think it's more about he has a good interception ratio. I mean, he has thrown one all year. I don't think anybody in the top 10 is really throwing a lot. So except one guy, which we're going to talk about that. but he's only thrown one all year, which is totally different than anything you see from Carson Wentz. So, you know, he's being a good decision maker. He's not putting the Colts in a bad position. And the Colts have a really easy schedule coming up. I mean, I think they have a chance to be 5-4 going into their bye, I think. And they have some momentum. And I think that he's still a player. He's still taking a lot of sacks. He has 15 on the year. But his sack percentage is way down than it was before, than it used to be. You know, he's in the higher end, but last year he was like number one. Now he's 15th, you know? So I think that has a lot to do with it. Let's keep it real. You know, they found a way to get the ball out of his hands quicker, but I think he's still a little inaccurate. I mean, his average depth of target is like 7.8, but he still has a completion percentage of 64. That's not good. That's still kind of ugly. It should be higher if you're throwing that was short of passes, right? So he's still throwing short passes. He doesn't have a lot of drops either. So it's not like he's throwing, you know, a lot of tough passes right now. He's just so that inaccuracy is still there, right? But I mean, he's playing well though. I'm not gonna take anything from him. I'm not gonna say take anything from him at all. I think he's playing. He's having a good year. And he's definitely improved from last season. I don't know if I would say he's playing at a top 10 level though, but he has top 10 numbers, obviously. So he's in the race. He's there, bro. I can't deny it. So that's what I'm saying. If he keeps playing well, I mean, they could steal. Cause I'm just not a believer in the Titans. Cause I'll tell you that Ryan Tannehill he's 25th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's 25th right now. Okay, so that's what Ryan Tannehill is.
They're still struggling to find their pass game too.
It's pretty
wild that it is quite literally put everything on Derrick Henry's back, and I mean he's even throwing touchdown passes now. So,
and yeah, they beat two good teams in a row, so they got a lot of confidence. But I mean, you know, I don't know about that, bro. You got to take the chance of stopping Derrick Henry, and the Chiefs are a terrible defense, so. And then the Bills couldn't stop Derrick Henry, so you know,
yeah.
We'll see how good the Titans are. So I think with the way Carson Wentz is playing, though, because he's pretty consistent. I mean, we're 7 games in now. We're at a consistent level where these guys look pretty consistent. I know everything changes in November and December, which we're going to talk about with the guy that's still higher up on here too. I mean, what's your thoughts, Chris? I've been kind of babbling now.
I was much more confident in what was going to happen for Carson Wentz this year than you were.
Yeah.
When we started the season and when you busted out your rankings, you know, I let you take the wild card flyer on him, but I was ready to smoke you about having him that high. So I think he's getting comfortable in this offense, and the more games that he gets under his belt, as long as he can stay healthy, you nailed it. That offensive line's really good. The running game's good. He's getting T.Y. back. I think he's going to get more and more comfortable as the season goes, and I think he stays inside the top 10.
Yeah. I mean, with his touchdown interception ratio, unless he just falls off the rails, he probably should. I just don't know how much higher he can get unless he starts making more plays and more throws downfield. He's going to have to get some more yards and get that completion percentage up and
Week didn't help when he played in quite literally the biggest downpour that we've had in probably 4 years on a football field.
Yeah.
So when you're playing and you can't even hold the football during the entire game, I think that probably didn't help him out a whole bunch. But it's a dome team. He doesn't have to worry about the wintertime weather anymore.
Okay. All right. Yeah, but yeah, that's a good point. He's got to stay healthy, too.
Yes, that's going to be the key to it. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to stay on the field so that he can feel more comfortable and more consistent in that offense.
Exactly. And for them to win, he's got to stay healthy. He's got to stay healthy. Yeah. It's got to be a big thing.
Agreed.
All right. I did want to point out, I mean, he does have 15 sacks still, even though with a great offensive line. So, I mean, he still takes a lot of sacks more than he should. So,
yes. Hopefully that changes as he gets more comfortable.
Yeah, hopefully. All right. Number nine. Is Kirk Cousins.
Ugh.
Kirk Cousins has ranked top 10 in this for the past three seasons. Okay. But he's been at nine for like three seasons. So, and he's back at nine. Okay. All right. So Kirk Cousins, I had him at 16 to start the year. All right. Well, you know, but it wasn't about how he played though. The reason I ranked him at 16 and had other guys over him is because I think that the 15 guys I had over him will look just as good as he did, or he does, with Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, and Adam Thielen. And,
yeah, no kidding. I couldn't agree with you more.
That's my thing with him.
He has so much talent around him, and he does a good job of managing a game, but he does not take over football games. And if it's close at the end, you can count on him to falter.
Yeah,
like I don't know what's going to happen this week. There's two teams that just blow it at the end of football games, playing with the Cowboys versus the Vikings.
Yeah,
like who's gonna blow the game first, and it's going to be Kirk, in my opinion. If you need a money line bet for the win this weekend, it's going to be Dallas. Take Dallas.
All right. You know, Kirk's just being Kirk, man. I mean, that's basically what he's doing. I mean, he's being the same guy he always was. People are like, oh my God, he's overrated. No, he's the same guy. He's smart. Mm-hmm. He's accurate. He's going to, you know, he's going to make the right read most of the time, you know, but there's always going to be some kind of boneheaded throws. I think what's missing from this year is the boneheaded throws. He only has two picks. So he's not turning the ball over like he was previously in previous years. But, you know, and he does have a couple game winning drives this year, Chris. So, I mean, he's maybe he's turned the corner.
Marcus, they're a 500 football team. All right. Just calm down.
I mean, he should have three. I mean, if they made the field goal against, the Cardinals, they should be 4-2, bro. You know, so I mean, maybe he's turned the corner there. Maybe he's got this is his year to get that clutchness going. I mean, that's the only difference that I see with him this year is that he has the game winning drives. He has a couple of them. And he's been better late. I mean, the Bengals game, he wasn't very good late when he had a chance to, you know, do that game. Or what other game was it when they lost like 14-7 to somebody? I forgot what game it was.
Oh, yeah.
The Browns.
The Browns. Against the Browns.
Yes, it was the Browns. That was what it was. And, you know, I think that that's the thing with him. I mean, he's basically the same guy to me. But he just has a better touchdown to interception ratio this year than he did the years before. His YPA is a whole lot lower than 7.4. But, you know, he's an accurate quarterback. He's going to have one of the best.
I would say that's exactly why. He's not taking any chances down the field.
Yeah, I mean.
You got two guys that are viable options to take those shots down the field with, but he's just not doing it.
Yeah. I mean, and it shows his average depth of target this year is down from, last year it was 8.7 and this year it's 7.2. So you are correct about that. He's not taking shots downfield this year for sure. But I mean, he's playing well. He's making smart decisions. I mean, they just really haven't played anybody. I mean, he played good against Arizona, though. I mean, he had a good game against Arizona, bro. I mean, but that's back to what I'm saying. Like, he has Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. It's like they're like what, the two of the top 10 route runners in the NFL.
Yes.
Like, you play man coverage, you get one of them is open. Like, you can't, you don't have two guys that can block both of them up in man coverage. You don't,
right?
Like, there's not one team.
You find the number one corner and who he's covering on this play, and you throw away from him, and he'll be fine.
That's my biggest thing. Like, yeah, Kirk, yeah, you should be able to play well. Cause I'm sure there's like a lot of quarterbacks that would play really well with that three tandem, the running game that he has and And if he has Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen.
It's classic 90 Minnesota Vikings all over again. Randy Moss and Chris Carter on the outside, Robert Smith in the backfield. And who's screwing it up? The quarterback.
Brad Johnson. Man, that is, I don't know, man. That is just, that is crazy to me.
And the defense now. The defense isn't what it was. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, that's super interesting to me. All right. Any other last thoughts on Kirk Cousins, Chris?
We've already spent too much time on him.
Yeah, we spent too much time on him. Yeah, you're right about that. All right. So we're getting closer to six. We're getting closer to the actual MVP race here. All right. So at number eight, we got Derek Carr. Derek Carr is at eight. He's at 7.67 adjusted net yards per attempt. I'm going to tell you, 2 weeks ago, he was 20. So like I said, that's how quick people move up these things. All right. So 2 weeks ago, he was 20. He was 20th on this ranking. Okay. So he's played extremely well the last 2 weeks. I mean, he's basically been flawless. Basically, he had the one bad throw and interception that he threw a little bit behind the guy. The guy tipped it up in the air. It was picked off. But besides that, bro, he's been basically pretty flawless.
How many games has he been without Gruden now?
It's been two. It's been two. His last game, bro, he was 31-34, bro. Like, and it wasn't like he was dinking. I mean, they were dinking and dunking, but like, it's because, you know, the Eagles basically just give that to you. They're like, you know, they play that soft show, whatever they want to play.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he was just picking them apart and just moving the ball down the field. On second down, they had like, they had 30% of their plays were explosive plays on second down. So they didn't have play third downs, bro. They just boom, 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 touchdown. Boom, 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 touchdown. Boom, 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 touchdown. I mean, that was basically the game. And that's what they did against the Broncos, too. It was just like boom, 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 touchdown. Boom, boom. It was like, and they're fast. They are up-tempo a little bit more. Everything is like working to his strengths. He's only been sacked twice after getting sacked 15 times the first five games. He got sacked 15 times the first five games. He's been sacked twice the last two. He's getting rid of the ball quick like he used to. Get rid of the ball like in 2.27 seconds last week. So, and he's anticipating like he's never has before. So he's anticipating and getting rid of the ball really quick. Yeah, he's
not playing that Russell Wilson offense.
No, man. It's gone. I'm happy. I'm super excited, actually. I'm happy you brought that up. He's not doing that. He's getting rid of the ball quick, and it's working. Even on the deep passes, bro. He's, you know, being decisive, and I don't think he's made a bad decision in 2 weeks.
There you go.
He hasn't made a bad decision in 2 weeks. It's pretty crazy. He's really playing really, really well. It's kind of a little shocking. I know a lot of people were like, oh my God, he's MVP the first 2 weeks. I mean, yeah, he was just throwing a lot of deep passes. They're being really explosive, so it looked really cool. But like right now, like he's playing quarterback at a really like high level. And that's what I like to see. Just play quarterback. Just play quarterback, bro. Like you like to. I'm sure Greg Olson probably just told him that, like, doc, just relax. Play quarterback. You know what to do. You know what, you get rid of the ball quick as hell. You know what to do, bro. Just do it. And that's kind of always my thing. You know, I'm not seeing too much from him like running around and trying to break tackles like he was. like the hero ball is gone. And he's just kind of just relaxed and playing quarterback. That's what I'm excited about. So
there you go.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Derek Carr?
Where was he on your preseason list?
He was 12.
12. Okay. All right. 12 down to 12 down to
8.
12 to 8.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Number seven is Josh Allen, which I had Josh Allen at seven, which is crazy.
Check. Mark the box.
Mark the box. He's right back to where he was before. I don't know where he was early on this year. I doubt he was this high early on in the year.
He was struggling at the beginning of the season.
He did, but I mean, his past three matchups, even the Titans game, he played pretty well.
He's starting to show back up.
He's starting to show he's getting it back into stride, and then he's obviously right in the MVP race right now. So he's number seven. He's right there. He's playing well. He's averaged about 287 yards per game. Like I said, adjusted net yards per attempt is 7.74, with something that is very interesting about him this year. He's only been sacked eight times, which I thought is very interesting. His sack percentage is 3.4, which is very good for a Josh Allen, especially the way that type of quarterback that he plays and way he plays quarterback. It's very interesting to me. So especially his offensive line is not that good.
No, and he's not holding the ball like he has the last few seasons. He's getting it out faster too. So that is probably playing directly into that. I'm willing to bet that his yards per attempt is down compared to last year as well.
Yeah, for sure. His yards per attempt is down. It's 7.5. It was definitely a lot higher last year. Yeah, because, I mean, he's not throwing downfield as much as he – well, yeah, I mean, they're still throwing off it. His average depth target is still really high. It's 10, but I mean, he's still attempting those big plays, but I think he's not completing them as much as he was before. And I think that has a lot to do with it too.
Yeah, we're seeing the completion percentage come back to reality. Is that what you're saying?
A little bit. I mean, it's 65, so it's not like 58 or nothing like that. It's still
it's still the second best completion percentage of his entire quarterback career, high school, college,
yeah,
and in the pros.
Yeah. So he's turned the corner there. He's definitely more accurate. He's definitely getting rid of the football quicker than ever, because you're right about that. His time to throw is 2.88 instead of like being over 3 like it usually is. So if that tells you anything, so he is getting rid of the football faster, which is good. His pressure to sack ratio is 8.4 according to Pro Football Focus, which is that's pretty damn good. That means when he is getting pressured, he's not getting sacked at all. So he's still being big man in the pocket too while getting rid of the football. So that's a good combination, and the Bills are playing awesome. Well, until they saw Derrick Henry, because like I said, every team is built to beat the Chiefs, and then they run into a Derrick Henry, and he just
dominates,
just storms you
straight through you. The fastest, what was that? He 70-yard touchdown was just impressive. Like, took the ball, gone. See ya. He ran about as fast as Josh Allen throws a ball down the field. That was insane. Gone.
Like, I don't even think Tannehill did anything in that game. I think they scored 34 points running the football. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, sir. I do know what you mean.
Good Lord. So, like, I mean, that's just something that a lot of NFL teams, that's why the Titans might have a chance to make the playoffs, because NFL teams just aren't built to stop Derrick Henry right now.
Nobody is. Everybody's playing nickel defense now in the NFL. There's no base defenses anymore. Maybe the only defense that I can, off the top of my head, say has a chance is the Steelers.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the Bears play good run defense, but the Bears.
Well, they're never going to see each other. So
exactly. You know what I mean? That's the only team I can think of that play that I've seen. Like, I swear, every team that I watch to get ready for a Raiders game, I'm like, the Raiders need to run the ball on this team, because this team can't stop the run at all. And they play like six in the box, like the whole game. So, and then you can't do that because Derrick Henry. And then
he's going to maul you.
He's going to maul you. Exactly. He's got 180 yards and 4 touchdowns. And you're like, what the hell's going on? All right. So Josh Allen. Yeah. So Josh Allen, he's right in that race. He's in a good AFC team, and the media likes him. So there you go.
He's in a good spot.
He's in a good spot
at 7.
All right, so my surprise guy, who just came out of nowhere into this list, he's number 6. Like, he was nowhere in the top 10. I think he might have been 11, like, maybe a couple weeks ago, who just hopped into this list after this week, is Joe Burrow, is 6. Joe Burrow.
There's something to say about playing with your number one guy from college, I guess, huh?
who just decided he wanted to be a top 5 receiver as soon as he stepped on the field.
Is that a surprise, though? The way that Justin Jefferson put it together in his rookie season.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys played together. They were 1 and 2 for Burrow.
You got a point.
They were Joe's wide receivers. And one comes in the league first year, balls out. Next guy shows up the next season. Now he's balling out. So,
yeah.
I don't know, man. Coach O had quite the offense.
Yes, he did. That's why he's getting fired. That's why.
I know. That's wild. That's
absolutely wild. Hilarious. But Joe Burrow, Joe Burrow's in an MVP race. He's number 6. I mean, I'm telling you guys, it's really no argument to me. If you're in the top 6, you're in the MVP race. So he's there. 7.91. He's almost at 8, right? There's only 31 quarterbacks in the history of the NFL that have finished with an over eight. Okay. So he's almost there. I mean, that's not 31 quarterbacks. It's only happened 31 times. Cause I mean, like, I think Aaron Rodgers did it like three times. Peyton Manning's done it like three times. Patrick Holmes already done it three times. He's did it three times. You know, the guys, the big guys, yeah. They've done it like four or five times. Marino's. All right. Anyways. So that's only happened 31 times for a bunch of guys, for players to be over eight. Okay. It's probably gonna keep rising as the NFL changes, but Burrow's almost there. But Burrow's an interesting case to me. Okay. Cause it's just, some of these numbers, man, are just a little striking. Okay. A little striking. All right. A little striking for me. I think he's playing with an awesome receiving core. Same type of thing with me, right? He's got
he's got Tyler Boyd, he's got Jamar Chase, and he's got
T. Higgins.
Higgins is balling out too. Like that's legit. You got three legit receivers.
His tight ends, no slouch, obviously now. Uzomah, he's no slouch, right? And then
he's been in the league forever too.
Yeah, he's no slouch, and then you didn't even talk about Joe Mixon.
Nope, and Mixon stole that out of the backfield job from Giovanni Bernard. So,
so I'm saying, so he's got weapons, skill players, big time. But I mean, he is throwing downfield a lot more than he was last year. He's completing a lot of those deep passes a lot more. I think last year he's like 8 for 26, which is god awful. I think this year he's a lot better. He's 12 for 27. He's doing a lot better there. Got six touchdowns on deep passes, which probably all of them Chase.
Let's hold up. I watched him when he played against the Packers, and there was no reason it should have been completed in the first place. Second off, it ended up turning into this giant touchdown because there was nobody behind the play.
Either. I remember that.
So, should have been an interception by Savage, but he blinked or something, forgot where the football was. I don't know. And then it just kind of fell into Chase's hands.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, how did this get here? Okay, well, I'm going to score a touchdown real fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stupid one.
I know. But there's a couple things for Burrow. So I want to point out a couple things. So Burrow has eight interceptions. I don't know if you knew that, Chris, but
I did not know that.
He has eight picks. Eight. He's right there with Trevor Lawrence, Sam Darnold,
Zach Wilson,
and Mahomes, of course, and right?
Mahomes.
He is in interception percentage. He is, where are you at, Joe? I know. He's fourth in interception percentage this year. Okay?
Yeah.
So he's throwing a lot of picks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had him ranked, I had him ranked 17th going into the season. Now, do you remember what my thing was with Burrow, Chris? Do you remember?
That arm, man. He doesn't have the elite arm talent.
And what did I say about how he would look through October?
you're waiting for the cold. You're waiting for the cold to set in.
You know, and there's some things here. Like, he's thrown a lot of picks already. Okay. He's thrown a lot of picks, right?
Where's the red flags? Where's the red flag, you know, that we've been seeing all over social media? Everybody got fascinated with that red flag game that they were playing. Here's Marcus's red flags.
The picks, right? There's another huge red flag, too, is his sack percentage, how many sacks he takes.
Well, that's not all on him, because they struggled last year, and that's a lot why he even got injured last year. That offensive line is not that
good. It's not good, okay? But, Chris, he's getting rid of the ball in 2.56 seconds, okay? So he's taking some sacks, though, because his pressure to sack ratio is 23% compared to like what we saw with Josh Allen, who is a big monster who doesn't have a good offensive line either. OK, his is 8%. So he's very, very sackable. All right. He's just not an idiot. Like, I hate how these teams treat these quarterbacks that are really smart like they're idiots, like Baltimore. Like, you can't run cover zero against Joe Burrow. He's not stupid. Like, that's why he was the number one pick. Obviously, he was the number one pick because how smart he was. Basically, and how pro-ready he was. So, and how good he was pre-snap and all that stuff. And you come out and you play cover zero against him? Like, yeah, he's going to throw 400 yards. Like, try to confuse him like the Bears did. Or like this. Like, what are we doing out here? You know what I mean? Like, the worst game you have is the Bears is because the Bears were throwing a whole bunch of crap at him, right? And he was awful that game. I watched it. He was awful because they were throwing, they were like, you know, they were dropping guys, you know, and then they were getting pressure, right? And then, you know, guys are different areas, they're, you know, different coverages. You know, if you just come out and you just play whatever, I mean, he's not going to play well. Even against the Packers, I mean, they played like different coverages and he threw picks. So I don't know about that. I don't know about him being here. I think it's a little bit of a fluke. He's my only fluke guy here, guys. That's my thing. Maybe you can call me a hater, whatever you want to say. I don't care. I think it's a little bit of a fluke. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Chris?
I mean, I like what you said, Marcus. This sets up to see what happens to him going into the winter. Here is a big fat hashtag, we'll see.
Big fat one. I don't know. It's funny. Nobody's talking about how many picks he's throwing.
Well, not yet, at least. It's not as exciting when they're winning.
If they're losing,
they'll be talking about all the interceptions he's throwing. So
yeah, because I think they got the Steelers this week again. So we'll see. Like if they end up losing to the Steelers, because you know everybody's down the Steelers, if they lose that game,
right?
He throws like a couple picks. That's when they'll start bringing up. He leads the league in interceptions. Well, he was tied for second last week. So
yeah. All right. So, six is sitting. You had him at 17. He's sitting at six.
He's sitting at six, but I don't agree. I don't agree with it. Let's just say that.
We'll see how he ends the year. Hashtag we'll see Joe Burrow.
So I do want to highlight one guy who's at number two here. I'm kind of going to take him out because it's Russell Wilson, but he's only played five games. So I'm not.
He's at two?
Yeah, he's at two.
Okay. Yeah. Take him out.
he's out of the list.
Well, he looks really good running those 2-minute drills and warm-ups by himself. Like, he literally is only doing it because, like, there's cameras following him around while he's doing it. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's
just trying to make sure he stays relevant.
I mean, he's such a weirdo. All right. Anyways, besides Russell Wilson being a weirdo, we're going to ignore Russell Wilson. So just if I skip over two, that's why I said that. All right. So number five is Tom Brady, who I think is probably like number two for MVP right now. Cause one, he's Tom Brady. It's going to be hard to beat him.
And two, he's putting up some big numbers.
Big numbers. I mean, he's basically number one everywhere. You know, he leads the league in yards. Leads the league in touchdowns. We have three picks. I mean, you could, you know, judge his YPA a little bit. It's 7.5. It's not the best in the world. But you know, he's seventh in passer rating. You know, you want to do QBR, he's two.
Dude never gets sacked.
He doesn't get sacked. Dude, he's sacked nine times. Second in sack percentage.
That's funny. He's been sacked one more time than Joe Burrow's thrown interceptions.
You know what I mean? Like, but see, because Joe Burrow is six, because Joe Burrow's YPA is 9.2. That's really why he's there. So like his passing attempts and his yards are like super crazy. So that's why Joe Burrow's there. But Tom Brady, I mean, that's why it's a little bit more impressive for like Tom Brady to be at eight. Because, you know, his YPA is only 7.5 based on how many attempts. He leads the league in passing attempts, 303. You know, I mean, that's all they do is pass. He leads the league in yards. But, you know, also, he leads the league in touchdowns, too. So, I mean, he's playing like Tom Brady with weapons.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
There's no need to deep dive into this.
What was that difference between age of the fifth ranking and sixth ranking? I think it's 20 years difference, 22 and 44.
With Joe Burrow and Tom Brady?
Yeah, 22 and 44.
No, Joe Burrow's old, bro. He's 25 already.
Is he really?
Yeah, it's only 19 years. Joe Burrow, he's old. He's old.
Okay,
Tom Brady's Tom Brady.
Tom being Tom.
Yep. Yeah, Tom being Tom, basically.
Tom's going to Tom.
Exactly. Then we got Kyler Murray at four. Kyler Murray, he's definitely in the MVP race. He's having a career year. He is, let's say, an adjusted net yards per attempt. He's never finished better than 20th in his career coming into this year. So he's definitely, having a career year. It's definitely his best year of his career. And it really, it goes into his YPA too. He's never had a YPA over 7 ever. His YPA this year is 9. So that's a big factor into it, that it shows that he's playing well. He's, his completion percentage is super high, 73%. So he's completing everything. So yeah, I mean, Kyler Murray is basically playing out of his mind. He's, you know, he's emerged as one of the best quarterbacks in the league at this point, to me, in my opinion. You want to see more and more consistent from him. You want to see how the season progresses, but you know, at this point, I mean, he's definitely in the MVP race. Like, especially if the Cardinals keep winning, he has a chance to pull it out. And you know, talking to Mark and stuff like that, I think a lot of it has to do with him just being better in the pocket, and getting rid of the ball quicker. You know,
I'm gonna throw a wrinkle into this for you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The talent around him is on another level.
Yeah. Okay.
We talked about the weapons that Burrow has.
You're right about this.
The weapons that Kyler has, like Hopkins, the number one paid receiver in the NFL. He's a top 3 wide receiver in this league.
Yeah.
He's got AJ Green, who used to be one of the top receivers in this league before everything went down for him in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So when he's healthy, he's still an elite wide receiver.
Yeah.
So you just went from having Hopkins and Larry Fitzgerald as your 1 and 2 to Hopkins and AJ Green. And then you can move Christian Kirk to the inside where he belongs. Uh-huh. And then you draft a guy like Rondell Moore. Like, he has 4 elite wide receiver options at this point because of what they can do as an offense. And then there's no slouches in the running back. Like, James Conner was successful in Pittsburgh running around.
Yeah.
So they have weapons all at Ertz. They got Ertz now to play tight end because Max Williams, who I was high on coming out of Minnesota.
Me too.
Started to ball out and got hurt. So they've got everything that could possibly go well for him. And you know what that does to a defense? You can't blitz. You can't blitz a guy like Kyler Murray when they have weapons like this on the outside, because all he has to do is check. And he's doing a phenomenal job of getting the ball out of his hands. And then when you blitzed him in the first place, it was hard enough to keep him in the pocket.
Yeah.
So he can still do all the same things that he could, if he can stay healthy and the offense can continue to click the way that they are clicking. Mm-hmm. They're in line to have a very special season.
They are, man.
Steve Keim, he's off the chopping block with everything that he went all in. He went 100% all in. And they're very young defensively too.
Yeah.
Isaiah Simmons, Zaven Collins. You got Jordan Hicks balling out. They told him, you will not play middle linebacker. He's like, screw you guys. I earned my spot on the field. And he is balling out. Chandler Jones hasn't even been playing. Nope. It's ridiculous. It's quite ridiculous, the talent that they have on this Cardinals team. So this is, for me, his numbers are because of the talent that's surrounding him.
Okay.
I need that consistency. Just like I need the consistency from Josh Allen before I can go crowning him. I got a little grief for somebody going through my old tweets when I mentioned that thanking God that Josh Allen wasn't drafted by the Cleveland Browns. Somebody looked at that and gave a little LOL in the comment on my tweets. But
hey.
I mean, I'm not going to crown Josh Allen. I'm certainly not going to crown Kyler Murray. I need consistency. So
yeah,
you gave that big fat we'll see to Joe Burrow. I'm giving that big fat we'll see to Kyler Murray.
You know, what's interesting about the Cardinals is that they're a running football team. They're not a passing team. He is. I mean, you could say maybe like, well, okay, they're blowing teams out, so they're getting up on teams. But he's 19th in passing attempts. He's behind Lamar Jackson, and I mean, he's not that high on passing attempts right now. And I like I said, I guess you could say that they're not down a lot, maybe, and they're blowing teams out. But you could say the same for the Rams and Stafford's 10. So, you know, I think
that's a difference in philosophies in the offense. Yeah. I think that Cliff learned very quickly in the first 2 seasons that he has to establish a running game. in order for Kyler to be successful. I think if you try to straight drop back and let Kyler pick apart defenses, he, in my opinion, cannot do that. I think if you get him on the outside and you have play action, there's a threat to run and nobody's coming straight up the field at him to rush him on every single play, that element of the running game being involved keeps the offense dangerous. And that's just football, period. There's only a few guys that can actually drop back on every single play and be successful. Very, very few. And those are the guys that we've seen in the Hall of Fame. And those are the guys that we're going to see that will go into the Hall of Fame. Like, that's just the way that this is with football. But I think they're in a great place as an offense, and they're pulling all the right strings.
I agree, man. I agree. I think they're in a really good spot. I think they're going to be looking to be serious contenders. I mean, because they beat good teams and they beat them pretty well. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they kind of just ran over some easy teams. They've been beating some good teams. So
beating the Rams was a really big welcome to Arizona being a real team this year.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. They run the ball 48% of the time.
Balance in the NFL is key. You can't be a straight pass team, Kansas City. you can't be a straight run team. You need balance.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy to me. It's just weird looking at this year that they run the ball more than Baltimore does. That's weird. All right. Let's go back to this.
Number three.
My computer wants to freeze now.
Well, where was Kyler on your list?
Oh, Kyler was 15th.
15th. Okay. 15.
I was 15.
Three. All right.
I was 15. And that was more of me betting on his talent than his play.
Yeah. Yep. That's the conversation. That was the conversation.
Okay.
He's got to develop that consistency now.
Exactly. All right. So number three, now that, I tried to look up their run pass ratio. I was trying to freeze my computer. Number three is Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is number three in the MVP, adjusted net yards per attempt. So he's definitely in the MVP race there. Dak
having a huge, huge comeback year. If he doesn't win MVP, he'll win comeback player of the year.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think he's already won that. But I mean, his completion percentage is super high, 73.1, 16 touchdowns. He's got a 7.4 touchdown percentage. He's he's top 10 in that. He's top 10 in yards per attempt. He's top five passer rating. He's pretty flawless stat wise right now. And I mean, his tape is really good too. And they're one of the most balanced teams in the NFL right now too. So he's getting a lot of help. Of course, I mean, he's got a whole bunch of weapons too around him. He's got a great offensive line. He's not getting sacked. He's not getting sacked at all either. So he's just playing really well. I think it was 8 sacks. Yeah, he's been sacked 8 times. So he's doing his thing as well.
Coming off the bye week, going to have Minnesota.
Yeah.
Like I said, money line those Cowboys.
So I think at the end of the day, it's going to be between him and the next guy. I think Kyler's going to fall out of this.
Okay.
All right. And okay. I think it's going to bother you a little bit, but I do think Dak is going to be there because I think in the NFC, besides the Cardinals, and maybe your Packers, if they could stop them, can hang with them on a
consistent basis.
You know what I mean? So that's kind of my thoughts on that. I that's why I think he's going to be there at the end, because I think the Cowboys are going to be one of the better teams in the league. And to win, this factors into it. But they're not going to give, if you're number one in adjusted net yards per attempt, I mean, and you played 8 games, they're not going to give it to you just because of that.
Right. That's why we pulled Russell off the list.
Exactly. Exactly. Because he doesn't deserve to be there, first of all. And, I'm sure he would have fell off anyways, like he always does. All right. So let me pull this up real quick for this last one because it froze on me here. But the last guy who I think is going to win it, and I think he's going to win it.
Your MVP this season?
I'm calling my shot on this one. And it's Stafford. It's Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford is number one in adjusted net yards per attempt right now. His adjusted net yards per attempt right now is 9.32.
Wow.
Okay. It's 9.32. That's a big number. That's a big number. It's a big number. All right. I mean, nobody else is over nine except him. Nobody's close to him. All right, Chris. I'm telling you, Dak's at 8.50. Okay. Wow. Nobody's close to Stafford. Stafford is playing really well. I watched Stafford. I've actually went and watched him a couple of games. He's playing really well, Chris. Like he's playing out of his mind. He's playing like he has something to prove. Like he's like, I'm out of Detroit. I made it. I survived. I survived. And then he's like, then he's got Cooper Kupp, man. And they're like homies.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp he's got Cooper Kupp looking. He's turning him into Jordy Nelson, bro. He's what the, you know? So I think he's gonna win it. I don't see him slowing down. That's kind of my thing. I don't see where he's gonna slow down. And but I don't want Matthew Stafford to win MVP because then the Hall of Fame talks gonna start coming because he has all the numbers with all his volume stats of his 800 throws a season that he was doing, racking up yards with like a YPA of like 6.5 and just like chucking it, just throwing it to Calvin Johnson, racking up yards.
Yeah.
Because I still think something's gonna happen in the playoffs. I still think he's gonna come back to life. And that's what happens when the MVP every year. The MVP never wins Super Bowl anymore. So
that is very true.
So I think the whole setup for him to win the MVP and then like, you know, get that division thing and like, you know, one of these NFC teams just comes in there and just beats them. Because, you know, I haven't really looked at their schedule. I don't know who else is out there for them to really challenge them, but I don't think there's a lot of teams that really challenge the Rams right now, especially the way they put it on the Bucks, man.
They got the Texans this next week, the Titans following that.
Yeah.
They play the Niners on the road, Packers in Lambeau.
That's a good one. That's a good one to watch. Is that on Sunday night? The Packers.
That is November 28th, so I'm not sure what day the 28th is.
That should be a Sunday night game.
That's going to be
Stafford versus
Sunday.
Rodgers.
That's a Sunday. I'm assuming that's a Sunday night game.
Has to be.
You would hope so.
That would be terrible scheduling if it wasn't.
that'll be interesting, though, because Lambeau and basically December. That'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. They do play the Cardinals one more time, but it's in Arizona.
Yeah.
And they finished the year week 17 is against the Ravens in Baltimore. So they got a few games left that could be a challenge to them, but they're basically going to they got to keep pace with the Cardinals at this point. But I mean, you look at their schedule of teams that they have played: Bears, Seahawks, Giants, Lions. They beat the Colts. That's probably the Colts, the Bucks, and the Cardinals. They've played three games against teams that are
okay. All right. You got a point. Okay. All right. I mean,
you can't feed Stafford only beats got teams under 500 right now. At least you can't.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you still kind of can a little bit.
Lions, Giants, Seahawks, Bears. That's not.
Besides the Bucks, so he's kind of doing the same thing with a better team, is what you're saying, Chris. Is that what you're Bucks, kind of?
And Bucks was at home too, so they didn't even get a road test there. They lost at home to the Cardinals.
Yeah, but and they got their butts kicked. They didn't lose to the Cardinals. They got their butts whipped by the Cardinals.
Yeah, they lost by 17. that wasn't good. Like the only road game that they won was against the Colts. And what are the Colts right now? Are they even a 500 team?
No. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't count. So they beat the Buccaneers at home. and that's their only game. That
so basically, he's doing the same thing he's done he's every year.
Same thing. Yeah, he's doing the same thing.
I'm sorry, it's hilarious. I don't know why it's so funny to me, but it is.
He's doing the same thing.
He's lucky his division sucks this year. He's lucky. He's lucky.
Bad, Mark.
He's lucky. Bad. His lucky his division is down.
He's definitely going to get into the playoffs. That's very interesting. That's a very interesting. We're going to have to. You're going to stick with him as your MVP. Well, you said the MVP doesn't get to the Super Bowl, so.
Yeah, I said that. I said that MVP does not get the Super Bowl. I said that. I'm not saying they're going to make the Super Bowl. I just think with the way that he's playing, the way Sean McVay is calling plays for him, the way Cooper Kupp is playing, I think he's going to keep this play up. And
yeah.
And I think the media loves him too, and they're gonna want to give it to him. I think this they're gonna want to, especially if they win the division and get a bye or something like that, mm-hmm. or try to mm-hmm. End up pulling out the division or something. Which you know it'll be interesting because they got to beat the Cardinals, and that might be his new Packers.
Oh, very interesting, Marcus.
That might be his new Packers.
Very very interesting.
That might be his new Packers, man. You never know. So, but yeah, that's just an SDR 10.
Where was he on your list?
He was 10 to start the year. 10. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, man. All right, because you were kind of long on that. I'm not, but whatever.
Yeah,
that
was, but it was worth it. I think that was some good content there for everybody.
Yeah. And then we got two games to talk about. Oh, we got to talk about Patrick Mahomes, who's not on the list.
Patrick Mahomes not being on the list. Patrick Mahomes in his last 10 games has thrown 13 interceptions. That was in his last 10 games. You know how many games it's taken Aaron Rodgers to throw 13 interceptions?
How many?
51.
Wow.
So Patrick is struggling. He's pressing. I feel like – I think this is on Andy Reid at this point.
You think so?
The depth in his drops are so out of control. There's no pocket protection going on for him because Orlando Brown's not nearly as athletic to be able to prevent a defensive end from going right past him. If a drop is 10 to 13 yards deep, like that's not a five, that's not even a seven step drop. Like
yeah.
That's like, he does the old school backpedal and he just keeps backpedaling and he just keeps backpedaling. And this year he keeps just getting further and further back. And this lack of running game is just death to a quarterback. He's pressing because he's used to things not going this way. They're used to being down 24 points and coming back and winning in the second half. Like everything that they're used to doing, they're sticking with, and it's not working anymore. Especially when you got a defense that's not even trying. Have you seen some of these replays showing some of these defenders coming into the hole and then just flat out stopping? They're not even playing. They're not even trying on defense. So Mahomes is
one of the worst defenses I've ever seen.
I don't even think that they're actually trying to play defense. This looks like a team that thinks that they can coast into the playoffs. And then once they get into the playoffs, they can turn it on.
Yeah.
And if they continue with that mindset, they're not even going to make it. And That's pretty consistent with what happens every year in the NFL. One of the two teams that makes the Super Bowl doesn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean,
it's going to be the Chiefs if they keep this up.
Yeah. See, my thing with the Chiefs, man, is that they're still moving the football really well. I know they didn't against the Titans, but like every other game they have, and I think Patrick Mahomes,
they're still scoring at what is that? Their points per possession is still through the roof. They lead the league in points per possession, don't they?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they're still capable of it. They just need. They need to get back on track. Everybody's pressing except for the defense. The defense just isn't even trying.
I was talking to somebody about this. You know, Travis Kelce's getting older, bro. I mean, I think that has a little bit to do with it too. I think, you know, Travis Kelce's getting a little bit up there in age. I think he's like 32. Age is a thing. I mean,
unless you're Tom Brady.
Yeah, let's Tom Brady. But like, if you're a skill player, sure. Is a 32-year-old skill player still that was elite? Is he still good? Will he still be good at 34 and 35? Of course he will be, right? He's elite players. Like, you know, you'll see like the Calais Campbells, see like AJ Green. I mean, he's still getting open out there. Is he still the same guy? No, but he's AJ Green. I mean, he's
capable. Yeah, incredibly capable.
Exactly.
Those guys aren't just talented. They have the technique that they're able to play with as well. And technique is what keeps the longevity of these guys' career going.
Exactly. And you're seeing like Travis Kelce getting older, so he's not going to get his, he can't get his open like he used to. It's not going to happen. There's going to be a lot more younger corners that are going to be able to stop him a little bit, or, you know, to be able to, you know, scheme against him and try to, you know, make Mahomes hold the football and try to go somewhere else. So I think Mahomes needs help, more help.
They need to run the damn ball. They need to run the ball.
Yes. Yes. That, but I think he doesn't have enough weapons. And, you know, my friend's Chiefs fan, he got mad at me when I said that, but I think that it's a real thing. I think they got Tariq Hill, Travis Kelce, and that's it.
Yeah.
And sure, are those players elite? Yeah.
Absolutely.
But like, that's two guys. I mean, that's how hard is that to take away? You know?
Yeah. Like, it's a lot easier when there's no Sammy Watkins. It's a lot easier when there's no running game to even speak of.
Yeah. I mean, the best thing that happened to the NFL is Kareem Hunt kicking a white girl. I think that's because if Kareem Hunt was there, man, we would not be having this conversation at all.
That's very true. Very, 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 very true.
This wouldn't even be a conversation.
Very true.
Because like, what was like, seriously, I went back one day and I wouldn't looked at like when Kareem Hunt was with that team, and they scored 40 points like in 8 games, like 4 times with Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
And then they're gone.
I'll never forget you talking about Kareem Hunt, man, and just bragging about him, bragging about him, bragging about him, and then cussing him out because he went to Kansas City.
Oh, I was so bad, man. Both my guys, I love this draft. They drafted both my guys. I'm still mad. They drafted Mahomes and Hunt in the same draft. I was sick. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Mahomes is
doing everything that I was afraid of when he came out. And everything that I was kept me from liking him as a prospect out of college, he's doing right now.
Exactly. Yeah, he is.
9 interceptions. He leads the league in interceptions.
Yeah, yeah. I always thought he's gonna be a high pick guy. I just thought his explosive plays would just make up for it, and he doesn't have the defense to make up for it right now. So he looks. The team is really struggling, and then so he's trying to press. And but that's what I'm saying. They need to do something crazy. Like they need to trade for like Odell Beckham or something like that. That's what the hell they need to do. They need to do something crazy like that.
They don't have the money to do it, man. They spent all that money on that offensive line. And if you look at the tape, like if you stay within the play, the offensive line is going to be able to do what they need them to do. But they got to run the damn ball.
Yeah, but you know, Tariq Hill is a good route runner, right? But I mean, it's more of a speed thing. You know, it's more of like a speed route type of thing, and I think that you know what he needs is more of the
possession
receiver. Odell Beckham type of guy where like he needs that like 10 yard where he can get rid of the ball quick, and he knows that guy would be able to separate as quick as possible, you know what I mean? So that's what they're he needs right now.
They don't have the money to bring a guy like that in. I don't know where they just, there's no space.
Get rid of Frank Clark. I mean, you can't play defense anyways. Get rid of Frank Clark. He doesn't get pressure. He's a 20 mil.
Yeah, I don't know what the cap hit is for his contract. Like, what's the dead money look like? The Packers could use a guy like Odell also, but they can't afford him. There's literally no space in the cap. Like Odell's running 10 mil this season, and the Packers have like 4 mil available on the books. That's why they can only get guys that are getting cut and their contracts are being paid by other teams.
So, yeah. You got a point there. You got a point. Let's look at this Chiefs cap room. I want to see this dead cap. Oh my God. Yeah. That's a lot of dead money. Jesus. Oh my God.
They got nothing available to bring a guy like Odell in. So that's the thing. They got to figure it out from within, and it's going to start with a running game. That's just plain and simple. You can't have Patrick Mahomes backpedaling 10 to 13 yard drops. He needs to get into a standard 3, 5, and 7 step drop offense. He's capable of doing it. He's got the arm talent to be late on throws. Like, just get him into an offense that he can get into a rhythm to. And Andy Reid knows how to do that. The man came from the West Coast offense. So it's not like they can't figure it out. They're just stuck in their ways.
Yeah. I mean, if they trade Chris Jones, I mean, they do have 38K in dead money, but they do have 13,000 in cap savings for the year.
13,000. Oh, okay.
Hey,
oh, 13,000. There you go.
Frank Clark, yeah, they trade Frank Clark because Frank Clark, he's useless. He's not worth 25 mil cap number. Come on, bro. I would eat that dead money for Odell Beckham for a season.
Yeah, but it's not just eating the dead money. It's you know, having the rest of the space be available to just, you know, even pay Odell.
Yeah, because that is, it's 38K in dead money until like June 1st of next year. So
right. Well, and then it's just like the actual cap that they have available for the rest of the season on top of that. So
see, the crazy thing about the Chiefs is Patrick Mahomes' cap number this year is 7,000.
Yeah, they set it up so that he will not be a cap casualty for like three more years. They've got literally, I think, two seasons left of Mahomes not killing their cap. So that's why they've stuffed everybody and their mother into playing these seasons.
They need a new GM.
This is their window.
Their GM sucks. Window. I'm sorry, bro. Like, why is Frank Clark? No. Why is Flint Clark your highest cap number? That needs to, like, come on, guys.
I would not go as far as saying that's the GM's fault. I think he's put a team together. They literally have a dynasty window for when they drafted Patrick Mahomes for another two more seasons. Like, this is their window. This is it. This is it. And then they got to figure out life with Patrick Mahomes being like 25% of their cap. That's they're gonna have to draft and develop, and that's gonna be their future.
I think we gotta
move on. I think
I think so too. But man, they paid Anthony Hitchens. Anthony Hitchens has a 10 million. I don't know if I agree with you, Chris, about the GM. All right, let's keep moving. Let's talk about this game real quick.
Yeah, let's go along here.
Let's get it real fast. All right, so we got Cardinals versus Packers tomorrow. Big game.
No Alan Lazard for sure.
No,
potentially like 95% sure no Davante Adams, and like 60% sure no Scantling.
All right, so
no MVS.
All right, you know, the Cardinals are getting Chandler Jones back, right?
Are getting Chandler Jones back,
so that's coming. You know, they got him coming back. They got
Bakhtiari will not be back for this game.
So, I mean, it's gonna be an interesting matchup, I think, you know. You know, I think the Cardinals are going to pull this one out. I know you probably think different, Chris.
But I mean, you're missing your most dynamic offensive player. I'm sorry. It's going to be very difficult to win this game. But
yeah.
Packers finishing the first eight games of the season at 6-2, I'm not mad. Short week. The team that's undefeated in the league, they're at home. Like, everything sets up for the Packers to not win this game. But I will say this, Marcus. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Ready for this one?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Packers cover.
Oh. What's the spread?
I think it's – last I saw it was at 6.5.
Really? Is that high?
It's going to get higher. I think it'll be over 7. If you can get it over 7.
I'm taking that, bro.
I think the Packers cover. Because I think that there's still – I mean, Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers. I think Tonyan gets a bigger role here in the middle of the field this week. I'm really interested to see what happens with Amari Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Malik Taylor comes off the COVID list, and that's somebody who started to show signs in training camp and in preseason, like he might know what's going on. St. Brown, who you hinted at.
Yes.
He's got the potential to have a big game here. It's not like they still don't have Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon running around back there. So there's still weapons for Aaron Rodgers to use, and I think that they can cover.
Okay. Okay. You know, I'm trying to find out how you guys can trade for Odell Beckham here too.
Oh, we can't. I've got a cap guy. I've dove straight into it. He's owed, like, he needs to be paid his salary this season. It's $10 million.
Okay.
The Packers have essentially – less than $4.5 million to work with. It's just not possible unless he can restructure it somehow and get Cleveland to pay for $8 million of it. Like, it's not happening.
Yeah. Unless you like flip like Aaron Rodgers stuff into a signing bonus or something.
They already did everything they could with Rodgers. There's nothing happening there. The only way that it might be possible, and I don't even think it even is, but Devontae Adams would have to basically do his extension like tomorrow.
Exactly. That is true.
And that's not happening. He wants to be paid more than DeAndre Hopkins. He deserves to be paid that, but he won't get it. And this is his last year in Green Bay, in my opinion.
Probably. I agree. He's coming to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I think he is.
I think he is. I do too.
I really do.
100%. All right. So those are our picks for the game. We appreciate you guys listening this week. You know, we gave you a lot of quarterback content, I thought, this week. You know, a lot we did.
We dove into it. We'll keep our MVP list updated. That might have to be a weekly tweet now, Marcus.
It might have to be a weekly tweet. Keep that updated. You know, see how far Joe Burrow falls after a while. So thanks, guys, for listening. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter. ALPA_QB1 Instagram, same thing. ALPA_QB1. Make sure you go to Facebook as well. A little pocket awareness for Facebook. Make sure you guys subscribe on iTunes, download on Spotify, a little pocket awareness, search there. And make sure you follow us on Twitter at the Mark John NFL for me, at King Manelos for Chris. And see you guys next week. All right, dude.